That really is amazing when you look at that, because most times everybody else is dying for the king. But the king died for us. That's just not something that typically happens in history or in anywhere. Heard a story about this, and I know this would never happen here. Thank you. Some lonesome woman parishioner asked her pastor one day to come visit her, and so anyway, he promptly showed up at her front door and knocked on the door and was invited in and sat down by her bedside and listened to her litany of woe. Woe is me, how bad life is. And so he finally asked her if he could read some scripture to her. In a sweet voice, she hollers to her granddaughter, and she said, "Darling, would you get me that dear old book that I read every night?" So promptly the girl came running into the room with a copy of the National Enquirer. We started, and that's not in our house, I'll tell you. But if it wasn't for Rachel Ray magazine, I don't think we'd have a magazine in the house. Anyway, we started this series 3 weeks ago. And the first one was, God provides direction. So we have the signs up here, the directional signs that tell us that. Last week we talked about freedom and provision, that God takes care of us. He provides food for us. He provides housing for us. He provides relationships for us. He provides for everything. Well, this week we're going to talk about forgiveness. And there's not a better symbol of what forgiveness really is than the cross on the wall behind it. Because that's what forgiveness is really all about. And so that part of salvation is what I really want to take a look at today. I had an opportunity, and I've shared this with you, to visit a young man that was incarcerated. And he was incarcerated both in the Butler County Jail and as well as the River City Correctional Institution. And those places have similarities, but they also have vast differences. For instance, in the Butler County Jail, you talk to someone on a TV screen with positively what has to be the nastiest, dirtiest, germiest telephone I have ever seen. You can't get it far enough away from your ear to talk. It's just the way it is. You go into the River City Correctional Center, though, and you get to see the person. But when you tell them who you are, they give you a key for a locker. And you put everything that you have in that locker. Cell phones, wallets, keys, fingernail clippers, whatever you got goes in that locker. And they escort you back to a room that you can talk to this person one-on-one, face-to-face, which was, and I got to tell you, I really like that better. But one of the other differences was that these people at the River City Correctional Center all had different colored uniforms, three different colors. And so being inquisitive, I said, "Tell me what those are for." And he said, "Well, the yellow ones are new people that are in." And I understand that, you know. And I said, "Well, what about the green ones?" And he said, "Well, those are green ones are the ones that have made the transition from coming in to being on good behavior." And I said, "Well, what are the blue ones?" "Those are the ones that can't stay on good behavior. Those are the ones that, in spite of being incarcerated, still can't follow the rules." And so one thing that I came away from both of those institutions, I realized that at the core of every human heart, there's a need that only God can satisfy. That is the need that exists. There may be people that are indifferent. There may be people out there that I believe that want peace, And there may be people that think they're at peace. But outside of that forgiven relationship with Jesus Christ, there is no peace. And we shared some examples of times that God didn't give direction. There were three instances I found in the Bible where he did not answer the prayer for forgiveness. First one was Deuteronomy 29, 18 and 20. He said, "So that there will be none among you, a man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve false gods of these nations. So that there will not be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood will happen when he hears the words of his oath and he imagines himself as blessed, saying, 'I will have peace and safety even though I walk within the stubbornness of my heart, in order that the watered land dwindles away along with the dry. The Lord will not be willing to forgive, but when the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man, and every curse which is written in the book will rest on him, the Lord will blot his name out from under heaven.'" Joshua 24:19, Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. And uniquely, he will not forgive your transgression of your sins." And then in 2 Kings chapter 24, "Surely this came on Judah at the command of the Lord to remove them from his sight because of the sins of King Manasseh, in accordance with everything that he had done, and also for the innocent blood that he had shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon it." So there are some things and there are some times that we read that God did not forgive. But it's also worth noting that it was but not because he was not willing to forgive, and it was not because it was not his desire to forgive, but it was because of the attitude of the heart of the person that came. And they came with no remorse. They came with, and you can come with a hardened heart, because God can soften that heart and change that. But you do have to be remorseful for what transgressions we have done. I mentioned Thursday night when we were talking. I said I was going to share this Sunday, because a lot of times we hear about the unpardonable sin. And we wonder, have I committed that? Have I done that? Because it says for the unpardonable sin, there is no forgiveness. But what the unpardonable sin is a total turning away, a total irreverence for God. So to a person that reverences God and is forgiven, I don't think there's any chance that they would ever commit a sin like that. Now, there are times that we make mistakes. I have a guy who mows my grass. And he does a good job. The problem is he just doesn't give me a bill. And I know he's not doing it for free. Or he'd do Wayne's for free. And he'd do the church for free. So I paid him for April and May, and he left a bill in the mailbox here for the church and for me for September. Now, I could skip June, July, and August and justify in my mind that, hey, that's what the bill's for. But to me, that would be wrong. Because he and I agreed that he would do something, and in exchange for that, I would pay him. But there's a lot of that goes on. A lot of people think we have to be perfect to come to God. That's a life excuse. I'll be honest, it's an excuse that a lot of people use. Well, I'm good enough. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wonderful thing about forgiveness, it's like the prodigal son. And we know the story of the prodigal son. I want to do a series on that sometime, but I think it could be kind of interesting. But at some point in his life, as you know, he decided he wanted all that was his, and he decided to take off and take what he had, and he ended up in the pit of Jewishness, taking care of pigs. And so God, as the father of that prodigal son, couldn't wait for him to come back, welcomed him with open arms. And that's an illustration of what God is interested in for us. There's a prayer in your bulletin, and it goes like this. Lord, I have fallen short in many ways, and I know what I have done is wrong. I don't offer you any excuses. Instead, I offer you a heart that seeks your acceptance and love. I believe you are a loving God, so I ask you to forgive me for sinning against you and anyone else I have affected. Now please give me the power to change so that I can walk in your freedom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And that might be something you might want to tack up somewhere. And when we think we've done something wrong, pray for that and ask God to forgive us, because forgiveness really is an ongoing thing. It's not something that happened years ago. I mean, I understand that God forgave us and he gave us new life, but there are times that we make mistakes. And so that's what I mean by forgiveness as being an ongoing thing. And when we ask anything, then God acts. A-C-T-S. He acts and goes about doing what we have asked him to do. And what that does is gives us the strength to resist temptation. There's temptation in not paying June, July, and August grass bill. I mean, really, who's going to know? Me. Oh, wait a minute, God knows. Cindy won't know. She has no idea what bills we have anyway. The only thing that she noticed today was I had a bow tie on. There are many areas that people need forgiveness for. Addictions. A short temper. Ever happen? Poor choices we make. Sometimes we just need to go to people and apologize. I'm going to take that a step further and say sometimes there's just times that we need to just forgive them. Sometimes there are things that people don't need to know, but they need to know we're sorry. We may need forgiveness for unethical behavior. If we look at the story of Abraham, and Abraham entered into this land of Egypt, and Abraham's wife Sarah was extremely beautiful. But Abraham was afraid that they would kill him because his wife was beautiful. So he says to her, "Tell them you are my sister, and I may live." And so they did that. And when they saw how beautiful she was, the Pharaoh took her to the king. But unfortunately, and there's so much truth to it, that what we do finds us out. And so there was disease came upon the house of Pharaoh, and they called Abraham in and said, "What have you done? And why have you done what you've done?" And so Abraham explained it. And Abraham had gotten wealthy because he'd gotten camels and donkeys and cattle and sheep from the king, because he had in essence given his wife to the king. And so what happened there was is that they were sent away. But one of the things that God did was he gave them a new start. He gave Abraham and Sarah a new start. And he became the father of many nations. And what could have happened then is he could have destroyed one nation with that lie. But he found that lie was found out. So even Abraham was guilty of questionable conduct. And then there was Moses. Moses killed an innocent man, and God forgave him. Anything that we struggle with needs forgiveness. Whether it's addiction, whether it's hatred, whether it's dislike for someone. Now, there are a lot of people There are a lot of people I could get along with if I've never met them. I'm trying to figure a good way to put that. But I have. Some of them have hurt me. Some people I've worked for, some managers I've worked for. And if I could have taken it a step further, they probably wouldn't be on the face of the earth, because, especially one of them, because of what he said to me. And I probably shouldn't have responded the way I did. But the bottom line is, I have to be forgiven for that. And for that attitude. And for those feelings. Now, am I sorry it happened? Yes. But it was a learning experience. And what happened there is God helps you through that temptation the next time it happened. Our relationship with God is so important that it really sets the course of the path that we will follow for the remainder of our lives. Stories portrayed in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 and 32 about the prodigal son. And if you've not read that for a while, go back and take a look at it. Because there's no better example of someone turning their back on God, turning their back on their father, and being restored. And we are the only ones that can stop any pattern in our life, no matter what it is. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "You or we are saved by God's grace because of our faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of." Regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of how we feel about anything, no matter how we feel about others, we carry the potential for breaking God's law. And so true continual freedom comes when we seek God's forgiveness, and when we stop and look at that cross and think, that's why I can be forgiven. That's why I can have eternal life. We all heard of, well, we're all probably thankful that the election's over. I'm not on a soapbox about that. I do have a point. But there was one candidate that said, "I may be the most transparent candidate there ever was." I heard that. And that's what we need to be with God. Is I need to be the most transparent that I can be with my Savior. That I'm comfortable with Him looking at me and looking inside of me and saying, "Larry, you're okay. Larry, you're forgiven." And that's what transparency, I think, really means. It means more than I'm the most transparent political candidate there ever was. It means, "God, look at my heart. And if there's anything there, let me know." Because it could be the thing that's separating us from a real relationship, and a relationship that can just utterly change our lives and change those of our families and those of our neighborhood. God bless you.